punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Whoops. It's a hard habit to break. Anyway, it is currently at the Elk City Mesonet. It's 89. Heat index is 88. Humidity's 39%. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 8 miles an hour with wind gust up to 14. Looks like we'll get up to around 93 degrees today. I also will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you later on coming up. And it looks good. I don't care who you are. It looks great. Let's check out if the computer, the Mesonet, will actually cooperate with me. There, it's coming up. Right now, in our listening area, we have 85 at Shamrock, 88 at Wellington, 87 at the state capital of Harmon County, Hollis, 87, 89 at Altus, 85 at Tipton. Up there in Woodward, we're 88. Arnett's 87. Camargo's 89. So basically in the upper 80s right now. The coolest spot in Oklahoma looks to be up in the Panhandle, and that's at Boise City at 82 degrees. According to my buddy, Lacey Swope, I'll give you guys a little preview of the Long Ranger. According to my buddy, Lacey Swope, tomorrow afternoon and into the evening, the very far western part of Oklahoma, the western half of Beckham County, Greer and Roger Mills, and a little bit, or in all of Hollis County or Harmon County, we have a 70% chance of storms tomorrow evening. Get back over into the east of there a little bit, it comes down to 40 and 30, but Sunday, or Saturday night and Sunday, goes up to 90% chance of rain all over the Texas Panhandle and basically all east of west of I-35. Western half of the state, we're going to get rain. Sunday, 100% chance of rain for all of Oklahoma except for the Panhandle, and they'd already got their share of the rain by then anyway. So anyway, rain forecast looks good. I looked at the Long Ranger on all my apps, and they're all saying that we have a chance of rain starting tomorrow evening all the way through next Saturday. It might not be a big chance from day to day, but anyway, it gives us a lot of great hope. Well, before I get into the grains and stuff like that, prices, got something to talk to you guys about. So yesterday evening, late, almost dark, I was headed across the river in the Ranger to go across on the east side of the river to the move my side row. I had the dogs with me. That was my mistake. On the way, I seen Gary, who's got the land around where I live. He was there, and he yelled at me. And I don't know if you guys know the law. If you don't, I'm getting ready to inform you a little bit about it. It's $500 a fine for trespassing on private property. And you guys that own land on the river, whether it be the North Fork, the Ouachita, the South Canadian, the Cimarron, the North Canadian, you guys all know what it is like to own land on the river. You got people wanting to come up and down it all the time because they think they own it. Well, they don't. You guys own it. Anyway, back to the fine. $500 for trespassing if you get caught. And so Gary's got a pretty good stretch of riverland right there from basically my house all the way to the south a ways. And he has 4 water gaps through there. And that man was furious. He was chomping at the bit last night when I ran into him. And I'm privileged that he lets me go across his land to go on the other side of the river to get over there to where I got my irrigation at. And I try to help him take care of stuff, and he does the same for me. We wouldn't be nothing, either one of us wouldn't do for each other. But somebody in the last couple, 2 or 3 days went through there on their Rangers, four-wheelers, whatever they have, and took out all of his water gaps. He's got cows missing to the south on another guy's land. He maybe has some calves missing to the north and where I cross there. And the man's mad, and he has a right to be mad. But besides Gary, you guys that have the land on the river know what I'm talking about. So you, if you pass the word along that it is a $500 fine, and when they do get caught, they're going to pay the fine. They're going to have to take time to go to court, pay that fine. There's going to be court costs. And really, it ain't all about the money, but it's about the respect of somebody else's land. It's private. Yeah, the water belongs to the people, but not the land. If the river's running, that's a different thing. But the river ain't running, and the kids and adults probably are running up and down the river just because sand's fun to play with, but you don't have the right to if you don't own the land. And it's the really stupid thing about the whole thing is, you know, if you were to call a landowner, like Gary, for example, say, hey, Gary, you care if me and the boys go run up and down the river and ride? And he would probably, more than likely, up till yesterday, say, yeah, as long as you don't tear nothing up and gather your trash up. But the man is furious. Down at the south end of that place that he owns down there, there's beer cans everywhere. So what does that tell you? So anyway, so please put the word out. Don't be acting like an idiot on the river and trespassing and stuff. And because they're going to sooner or later going to get caught. And technology's out there. And don't think you're doing this like behind somebody's back. So anyway, that's my rant. But to continue my story about going and moving the irrigation, went across the river, got out, got some hay going on over there, moved the side road, and it was dark by the end, and my fault for taking the dogs. Well, they went hunting in the dark while I was moving the side road, and they come back smelling like skunk. So anyway, 10 o'clock last night, I was giving the dogs some baths to try to get the skunk smell off, but it just, you know, and I was using my wife's secret ingredients, but they got into it pretty bad, so they got to sleep outside basically. But anyway, so fun. Jimmy's tip of the week this week is don't take your dogs in the dark to the hayfield to move side rows because they're going to be hunting, and sometimes what they find is not so bad, but last night it was a bad deal. Well, let's check out some of the grain prices on the futures. Corn, September 624, December 621, March 629, May 631. Soybeans, September 1488, November 1399, January 1405. Soybean meal, September is $444.60 a short ton. October is $406.50. December is $460. Soybean oil, September 67.55 cents a pound, October 66 cents even, December 65.41. Hard red winter wheat, 8.39 a bushel for September. December is 8.41. Oats, September 4.19 a bushel. They're up a little bit today, and oats is for December is 3.90. See what cotton's doing. Cotton's down slightly. October is 1.17 a pound, and December is 112. So let's check out the cash grain markets and our elevators going around Texas and Oklahoma right now. Cash grain prices for hard red winter wheat is $7.80. It's up 26 today. Corn is $6.99. It's up 4. Milo $6.29. Soybeans is $14.39 and it's down about 6. Anyway, going on right now, here south Elk City is the Elk City Livestock Auction. They're happening right now. They're getting with it, and from what I heard, a lot of cows were in there yesterday, so it'll be interesting to get their reports from Brandon on what's that got, and I'll have that coming for you either Monday or Tuesday. Well, let's see what's going on around the world. Soybeans tanked in overnight trading as rain is expected in parts of the Midwest this weekend, improving prospects for crops. Precipitation is expected in both Iowa and Illinois starting today and lasting through the weekend, according to the National Weather Service. Drought conditions have eased slightly in the western Midwest while remaining largely unchanged in the eastern corn belt. Rain will favor west central areas of the Corn Belt Saturday night and central and eastern areas Sunday, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Showers in the northwest areas of the Midwest likely will boost crop conditions, though moisture may decline in west central areas. In the Delta region, rains likely will favor the southern parts of the area throughout the weekend. Precipitation is expected to improve soil moisture conditions for soybeans, but will slow corn dry down and harvesting. Investors who were long on the market, or as we know it, bet on higher prices, also may be taking money off the table this morning amidst uncertain weather in some areas over the weekend. Rain hasn't been exactly ample in parts of South Dakota, southwestern Minnesota, the eastern two-thirds of Iowa, and all of Illinois and Indiana in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. Little or no rain has fallen in much of Kansas and Oklahoma the past 7 days. The uncertainty with what areas are dry and what areas receive rain may be keeping some of the money managers out of the market for at least now. Soybean futures for November delivery declined 13.5 cents to $13.91.75 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $4.20 to $403.70 a short ton, while soybean oil fell 0.24 cents to 64.03 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was down 1 penny to $6.14.75 a bushel. Wheat for December delivery was up 5 cents to $7.54 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures gained 6 cents to $8.21.25 a bushel. Weather maps are looking really quiet heading into the weekend. Thunderstorms are expected this afternoon and evenings in parts of western and northern Iowa. According to the National Weather Service, a few storms might become strong or severe will be possible into the evening, with large hails and damaging winds will be the primary threats. A brief funnel cloud is also possible. More rain is expected Saturday in the area, along with some gusty winds and funnel clouds. Precipitation also is expected today in northern Illinois, though the risk of some severe thunderstorms and flooding might be a chance there. So anyway, and then in Oklahoma and Texas, we should be good. We got some good rains coming our way, according to everybody. So we'll see. I think I seen last night where this front has shifted a little bit to the south, but it's just they're expecting 2 to 3 inches from I-40 south, basically, in west southwestern Oklahoma. And then up north, they're expecting anywhere from a half inch to 1 to 1.5 inches in the northwestern parts of Oklahoma. So anyway, let's hope. Let's hope it happens. Well, when I come back, we'll talk a little bit about the live cattle and the feeder cattle. And then I have the report from Woodward yesterday, and I'm kind of going to do that report a little bit different. I'm going to give you the difference between unweaned and winged cattle prices and tell you what I come up with on this. Kind of interesting the way I did it. And then we got nothing but cows, flies, and water to talk about after that. So anyway, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 15th. 1,612 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 383 brought 206. 8 at 544 brought 175. 7 at 566 brought 164. 14 at 719 brought 186. 20 at 791 brought 173.50. 16 head of heifers at 269 brought 190. 4 at 390 brought 171. 10 at 477 brought 172. 5 at 606 brought 159. 29 at 749 brought 165.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 86. Six butcher bulls brought 75 to 114. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
According to the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet here in the studio, I'm looking at it right now. The winds are about 8 miles an hour out of the southwest, and temperature is 87.62 degrees, and we have 42% humidity. Here at the studio, I have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. A couple things before we get on with the show. Wheat, cattle, and risk management, one CEU will be available. Please have your applicator number, and it'll be August 24th of this year from 9 a.m. That's coming up pretty quick here in about 5 days. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Beckman County Activity Center there in Sayre. You need to RSVP for a spot, please, by calling the Beckman County OSU Extension Office. Tell Mr. Greg Hartman what it is. It's 580-928-2139. Speakers will be wheat herbicide and production topics, wheat fungicide, wheat pastures and fall nutrition, economic risk management. They got all kinds of topics. It'd be 2 hours long, and it's one CEU. Then I got an email from the OSU Extension Office in Roger Mills County this morning. The Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food, and Forestry Consumer Protection Service Division will be hosting a virtual CEU opportunity for private applicators. The topic will be herbicide drift factors with Dr. Todd Bowman. One CEU will be offered for this meeting. This will be a good opportunity to pick up one CEUs towards your recertification. Please let producers know about this meeting, is what this email said. So the virtual meeting looks like it's going to be September 7th at 12 o'clock Central Time. So you can eat a sandwich and get a CEU and listen to this deal. That's kind of what I'm getting from it. If for more information, I would just call your OSU, your county OSU Extension educator, and get the information from them. They'll email it to you. I'm not capable of emailing everybody that, but that'd be the easiest way. Your OSU Extension educator, I always keep wanting to say agent, but anyway, educator for your county, call them and ask them about the virtual CEU opportunity coming up September 7th. So FYI there for you. All right, thanks Dan for letting me know about that. All right, let's check out what cattle are doing. Live cattle for August is 141.57. October is 145.25. December is 150.97. February is 155.05. Feeder cattle, August 181.90. September is 184.97. Lean hogs, October 92.97. December 83.87. And February is 87. Even. How about that? Now, here's some of the stuff from Woodward yesterday. They had their regular feeder calf sale up there. 2,988 head went through the ring yesterday compared to last week. That was 2,788. Compared to last year's 3,433. Compared to last week, feeder steers were $3 to $5 higher. Feeder heifers were mostly steady. Steer calves were $8 to $10 higher. Heifer calves were $5 to $10 higher. Demand was moderate. Quality was average. Supply included 100% feeder calves and the feeder supply over 600 pounds was 75% of the cattle that sold through there yesterday. Well, here's where I was going to give them a little bit of homework, see if you guys like this. All right, so to me, this report showed me that the lighter weight calves, whether they were winged or unwinged, were bringing the same amount of money. And it wasn't until you get close to 600 pounds is where you seen where the unwinged and wing the prices started to vary. So here I'm going to go. So some 379-pound unwinged calves, steers, were bringing 214, 210 average, almost 211 average. 442-pound wing calves brought 209. Some 430-pound calves, steers that were unwinged brought 206. Some 531-pound wing calves brought up to 210. 528-pound unwinged brought 209. And then some 579-pounders winged brought $1.94. And some 573 unwinged brought $1.89. Then we get into the 600-pounders, and that's when you started seeing a little bit of difference going. On the steers, 620 unwinged brought $1.87 or $1.86. Some wings brought $1.96, so that's 10 cents difference. And the calves were a little bit bigger, 668. And then we got here on some 700-pounders, 724 wings brought $1.89.50. 726 unwinged brought $1.73. And then 800-pounders were bringing, 825s were bringing $1.85, 882, $1.80. 900-pounders bringing up to $1.75. So anyway, the market was really good yesterday for calves and feeders. And on the heifer side, we got, here we go, some 430-pound wings brought $1.80. And I don't know what the deal, must have been some, maybe not so good quality, but let me rebound this. 422 unwinged brought $1.85. Some more 474s unwinged brought $1.84.50. 534-pounders brought $1.88. That was winged. 518-pounders were unwinged, brought $1.79. So there's about 12 or 13 cents difference between winged and unwinged for a little bit close to the same weight. 568 unwinged brought $1.74. Some 580 winged brought $1.85. 626-pound unwinged brought on heifers brought $1.67. And some 619 winged brought some $1.78. We get down into 700-pounders. 741 unwinged brought $1.47. And some wean brought $1.68. Quite a bit of variance in there, but I can't tell by this piece of paper how good a quality of cattle they were. So that makes a little bit of difference too. Some 900-pound heifers brought $1.40. Some 1,000-pounds brought $1.44. So that's what was happening around at Woodward yesterday. So hope you guys didn't mind me doing that. Just letting you know what the difference between winged and unwinged is, because I know there's a lot of guys out there calling calves early weaning, or already been doing it and continuing to do it, pulling the calves off the cows, taking them to the sale barn, whether they're winged or not, and getting them off the grass because we're out. Hopefully this rain will turn things around a little bit, give everybody a little better attitude. And I know there's somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody out here in western Oklahoma or the eastern Texas Panhandle today, he has got that drill out, and he's probably greasing it up, or they're cleaning some seed, whether it's rye or wheat. I know somebody out there is doing it today. I don't know who it is, because rain gives people hope. Talking to a buddy of mine that was going to work in West Texas day before yesterday, and he said from Amarillo south all the way around Amarillo, they've been getting some good rains. The fields are standing water out there, the whole nine yards. But I'd noticed there was a white area in the drought map, that out in that area where they were not, no, wasn't no drought going on. So good for them, and we'll get it going. Well, when I come back, we're going to talk some more about cattle. The numbers, some numbers are out for cattle on feed, exports. I don't know. We got all kinds of good things to talk about today. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, August 16th, we sold 806 cattle, bulls, and calves. Thursday, August 18th, we sold 2,988 kids and feeders for a total of 3,794 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 80 up to 90 and a half. Then cows bring 53 to 74, with our bulls bringing 70 up to 116. We had 40 black bred heifers bringing 1550 to 1775, with our 2-day-year-old bred cows 750 to 1075. 5-day-year-old pairs 1050 to 1425. On our steer cattle, very active calf and feeder market. 3 to 350 steers, 215 to 217, 4 to 450, 191 to 216, 5 to 550, 188 to 210, with our 6 to 650 steers, 180 to 198, 7 to 750, 177 to 189.50, 8 to 850 steers, 170 up to 185.75, with our 9 to 950 steers, 171 to 175.5, 23 steers weighing 991, bring 170.50. On our heifers, 3 to 351 heifers, 188 to 192, 4 to 450, 181.5 to 185, 5 to 550, 168 to 188, 6 to 650, 166 to 178, 7 to 750, 162 to 171, 8 to 850, 156 to 164, 75, with our 9 to 950 heifers, 137 to 140, and 1,050 pound heifers, 136 to 144. Extremely good market. 7 to 750 steers top 189.50, 8 to 850 top 185 and a quarter, 9 to 950 top 175 and a half, 6 to 650 steers top 198, with 61 yearling heifers weighing 547, bring 187.50, 1,012 ahead. 6 to 650 steers off the cows, heifers topped 178. Even our calves off the cows, 6 to 620 topped 186, and our 5 to 550 unweaned topped 209. For this Tuesday, August 23rd, we will have 50 bred cows and pairs. We've got 40 other bred cows and pairs, more by sale time. We have the Colorado peaches on Saturday, August the 20th. They tell me they're fresh, unweaned, right off the vine. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
The Colorado peaches will be at Woodward next Tuesday. I didn't know that. Well, before I go on, I forgot something about to tell you guys something about my Jimmy adventure last night. Well, anyway, when I got back and I was giving the dogs a bath, we got a blower like they use on steers and stuff to blow the dogs off before we let them in the house and stuff. Keep them clean, keep the house clean. I was blow drying Zoe, the Griff hunting dog, and there was this big insect landed right by my foot, and I was in flip-flops, and this thing was about 3 to 4 inches long, and it had a set of chompers on the front of it, and I was like, what the heck? And it's not exactly what I said, but I'm being nice on the radio today. Anyway, I kind of backed off from it. It was Zoe stuck her nose down there, and this thing raised those chompers at her. This thing was not afraid of nothing. Anyway, I'm 60 years old. I've lived in Oklahoma most all my life, and I'd never seen that thing. So I got on social media because there's a lot of experts on social media. I don't know if you guys know that, but if you ever want to know anything, just post a picture on social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Facebook, I think, has the best experts. But anyway, posted a picture on it, and it's a Dobson fly. I'd never seen one. I don't know how much. I don't know why. I spend 90% of my time in the outdoors, and I'd never seen a Dobson fly. I guess the male Dobson fly has the chompers on it, and the female doesn't. But whatever, it doesn't matter. It looks like either a horse fly on steroids or an inbred horse fly that it's huge. I mean, this thing is 3 or 4 inches long. So anyway, sorry, I guess I'm stupid to insects. I've never seen a Dobson fly before, but I have now. It was still there this morning when I left, but it was still alive. Dogs didn't mess with it. Anybody rear up at the dog that's like, well, don't want to be messed with. Also, Lieutenant James Edwards with the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. He's the game warden in our area. Him and Captain Jeff Frederick, they're the big dogs, and then they got all those other guys like Tucker up there in Roger Mills County and stuff. But anyway, they do a great job. They come out yesterday. I don't know if they got them all delivered, but they were working hard. The hunting, Oklahoma fishing and hunting regulations are out. Guess what? There's no ads in the magazine. This thing's even lighter. You don't have to struggle through the ads to find out the information you want to. So anyway, go wherever you normally get, Walmart, convenience stores. But anyway, the new catalog for the Oklahoma fishing and hunting regulations is out. And if you look in there pretty hard, you'll probably find it in there where you need a permission slip to be trespassing on somebody's, to be on somebody's land, or you're trespassing. So anyway, I'm still ranting about that because my friend Gary was pretty upset, and I don't blame him, because one guy texted in here a while ago and said, what's the big deal? It's a huge deal. You ever been down on the river looking for cattle? It's not fun. And they can go for miles because not everybody's got water gaps up. They fenced it off on one side or the other, but that doesn't give you the right to go down the river and tear people's crap up. So anyway, that's the big deal of it. So anyway, and it's $500 if you get caught. So I hope they get caught when they do it next time. All right, moving on. What are we going to do? Oh. Let's talk about weaning, since I'm weaning some calves right now. Went and checked them this morning. Fence line, this is the first time I fence line weaned, and because we got a really good setup over there to do it, and they were doing well. They were talking to each other, crying to each other. But anyway, I put a feeder in there and a bale of Bermuda hay, and the feeder had some stuff from LNC, from Maxi Gain in there. And I put about 200 pounds in there, and I'd already fed them a feeder full during their little while they were still on their mama, so they're used to it. And I'll be darned, all that feed was almost gone, so they're doing good. Let's talk about that. Weaning time is a high stress situation for calves, but there are 5 ways cattle producers can help ease the transition and set those calves up for success. Experts from the University of Nebraska Lincoln Institute of Agriculture and Natural Resources and the Beef Cattle Institute at K-State University, which is Kansas for you guys who don't know where K-State is, generally agree that low-stress weaning can contribute greatly to the future success of the calf as it grows. The first step any cattle producer should take, they agree, is to consider the labor and equipment they have available to them. If there's a family member or friend who's more hindrance than help, maybe give them a different job, they said. Fix gates and equipment before calves even get to the pen for safety and security. Do a walk through your facilities. Even get out the mower and mow down some tall weeds that can provide eye irritants to young calves. That's pretty good thought there. Number 2, water access. This also means making sure that you have plenty of available water that calves can physically get to in the pen. They added, these calves may be coming from the pasture setting where they've learned to drink out of the pond or the creek. So your goal is to make sure that they can adjust to any water setup you have in the pen. That means taking off water covers, making sure that they're in open position so they can see and smell the water and see other animals drinking from these faucets, from those automatic waterers. Remember, also they said that calves at 200 days aren't as tall as grown cow or steer. And some water resources and pens can be too tall for them to reach, which is a true fact. It can be as simply as making sure that there's enough field dirt around the water tank to provide access to shorter calves. Water is the most important nutrient, Mr. Weber from Nebraska said, so you may need to bring in another water tank into the pen to make sure they have access as they're switching from mother's milk to a feed ration. And the good thing about that little setup I got going out there where we're out here west of Elk is these calves have been coming in there and watering where I got them now, and that water tank is just the right height for them, so they're already used to it. Matter of fact, five of them was over there taking a drink of water when I pulled in this morning, so it's all working good. Health protocols. Preconditioning calves with a 45-day post-weaning period has been an industry practice for some time, according to the Beef Quality Assurance Program. Preconditioning can improve animal health, their performance in the feedlot, and ultimately their carcass quality on the rail. Calves with fewer health problems after leaving the ranch will require less medication, suffer less death loss, perform more efficiently, and potentially have a higher value carcass, according to the BQA materials. Carl Jenkins, Nebraska Extension Beef Specialist, reminds cattle producers that low-stress weaning can actually boost the effectiveness of the vaccinations and the health products that the calves are already given. Physical separation, number four. You got five of them to do. Here's number four. There are three basic ways to separate the cow from the calf, and you need to choose what's right for your operation. Weber says he prefers the fence line weaning method over the traditional method of just loading up the calves and hauling them off and taking them to a physically dry lot or small pasture far away from the cows. The calves are separated from their dams by a fence, but they can still see them. It gently breaks the maternal bond in about a week, and then the calves can be set up to change its diet. Other experts swear by the two-step weaning process, where a plastic nose piece is placed in the calf's nose. The device lets the calf graze and drink water, but it has points on at the end of it will poke the cow if the calf tries to nurse. After about two weeks of the cow discouraging the calf from sucking, the pairs can be separated more easily. Match what you can do with your resources, your time, and what works best for your operation, he said. Nutrition. Jenkins and D. Griffin, Nebraska Extension Feedlot Veterinarian, emphasize that nutrition is a key part of the weight gain and immune response in its weaned calves. You're switching them from milk, which is rich in energy, protein, vitamins, and minerals, and needs to be replaced with high-quality forage and possibly a supplement, as well as to maintain the pre-weaning intake they advise. If you're weaning calves on a native range in the fall, remember, the grass is in a state of declining nutrient content and may need supplement feed. If you're weaning in a dry lot, these calves must first learn how to eat from a bulk space. So provide about 2 feet per head for the number of calves being weaned. And as for your water source, you may need to add fill, dirt, and bunks to allow the smaller calves to reach. Well, there you have it. Easy to do. So I can't do fence line weaning down at my place at Willow because I don't have the water source. I got water source when I have rain and the ponds are full. Yes, I do. But I ain't had any water source down there, but just for a little while, since October 2008, I got one water well that works, so everybody's got to drink from it. So I usually just take my calves, haul them to the sale barn, unwing, right off there. But this deal here we're doing west of Elk, I'm excited, it's fun. The calves, very good quality calves we got out there, and I'm super happy what we got going so far, and we'll see how it goes. We got somebody texting, pretty sure. Yes, I'm pretty sure. My wife is, Anyway, we got more to come right after the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Talk a little more about cattle, and it is the weekend, so we got lots to do, and everybody's getting their drills ready, cleaning their seed, getting ready for that big rain, because it is almost September, so there'll be people planting. So I will give you a warning. Take this as Jimmy's tip of the week. A couple days ago, I took the dogs over to move the side row, and I left their big water bowl out that I take with me in the Ranger, because sometimes the water's already drained out of the side row when I get there, so there's nothing for them to drink. I left it there 2 days ago, full of water. Last night, had my big light out, was moved that side row, and I remembered to pick the water bowl up. It was full of dead army worms. So, FYI, they're back. They're here. So, just letting you know. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. We'll be right back.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 12th. 2,069 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 275 brought 224. 9 at 446 brought 208. 16 at 522 brought 194. 11 at 590 brought 178. 10 at 652 brought 169.50. 3 head of heifers at 258 brought 540. 4 at 443 brought 170. 9 at 470 brought 162.50. 4 at 528 brought 158. 7 at 881 brought 148. Butcher cows were 35 to 90. 94 butcher bulls brought 8250 to 113. Bred cows were 700 to 1400. Pairs brought 1000 to 1660. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
92 degrees here at the Elk City Mezzanette. 88 degrees on the Gabe Gadget here in the studio. The winds are out of the southwest, 10 miles an hour with wind gust up to 16. Humidity's 33. Shut the baler off and go to the house, do something different. Too dry. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. 93 for a high today, 68 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, 20% chance of thunderstorms, 93. Tomorrow night, 50% chance of thunderstorms, 67 for a low. Sunday, high of 76 and an 80% chance of rain showers. Sunday night, 64 for a low, rain showers likely, 60%. Monday, 60% chance of rain showers, 80 for a high. Monday night, 20% chance of showers, 63 for a low. And last but not least, on my mezzanette anyway, Tuesday, 30% chance of rain showers and 84 for a high. I've seen 80s all next week. I've seen chances of rain every day through the weekend. So anyway, hopefully we get some rain. It would be great. Great, great. Remember, wildlife departments, hunting and fishing regulations are out. So go to your local dealer, wherever you can pick one up, and catch up on any new rule changes and stuff, and be from there. Anyway, we'll be good to go. There's Mr. Hartman, if you're listening, yes, you can. 12:15 Monday. Is that cool? You text me. I can't. It's hard to text and do the show sometimes. So anyway, yes, you can. Talk about high commodity prices for crops like corn, sorghum, and cotton. And historically high input costs led to fewer acres of alternative crops like sesame, sunflowers, and black-eyed peas. According to Texas AgriLife Extension agronomist Calvin Fossil. I guess I hope I said that right, because the only thing different is an I and an O, so it could be thistle or throstle, but it's throstle or trossel. There we go. Let's go with trossel. Sunflowers and sesames are more drought tolerant than corn and comparable to even cotton. But the consideration would not have to matter with dryland growers this year because it's a drought. Mr. Trossel said that the drought-related risk for both dryland and irrigated fields in planting history likely played into producers' evaluation when crop insurance was also considered. Crop insurance based on good per acre yield for sunflowers or sesame in a location when compared to the county average could be a major consideration when fertilizer, fuel, and other inputs are so high. I didn't know this till this year. You know that you cannot insure corn in Kiowa County or even Greer County. We're growing corn down there on the Kiowa-Greer County line, and I can't insure it. And I didn't know that, but we'd already got the seed, and we went with it. We're going with it. Alternative crops like sunflower, sesame, and even cowpeas, which are a good rotational nitrogen-fixing legume, continue to stay relevant for producers, while other, like gar, utilized as an emulsifier by the oil and gas industry, has disappeared from production. There are dynamics that play, that make play these alternative crops as an option. I think I've seen some sesame up north of Elk City. I'm not sure if that was Jason Simon or something up there, but I think I've seen some up there. Anyway, there are dynamics at play that make these alternative crops an option, but sunflowers were clawing for acres compared to cotton and other major Texas crops. And with the drought and high input costs, I think farmers went with crops that are used to growing that are routine for them. In the past, most Texas sunflowers were grown for purposes as seed snacks for consumers. But much of that demand is met by the growers in Dakotas who have more efficient access to processing. Today, most of Texas sunflowers and sesame are grown as an oil seed and for bird seed. Trossel said the lower Rio Grande Valley was the hot spot for oilseed crops like sunflower and sesames this season. Growers in several counties planted around 25,000 acres of sunflowers and 17,000 acres of sesame, according to the AgriLife Extension agent in Hidalgo County. Around 20,000 acres of sunflowers were planted in the South Plains for bird seed, and another 5,000 acres in northwestern Panhandle for oil seed crushing. Sunflowers made a small comeback in central Texas, with around 3,500 acres grown near the Hillsboro. Trossel said that there are three active sesame seed contractors in Texas. There's one that seed company is actually based in Israel, has been contracting sesame seed acres and selling in Mexico and places like these. These additions are big for those crops because they represent processing and more than just oil seed, because there's a value added step to producing commercial products right there in Texas, and there's a good thing for everybody. So I have seen some sesame growing around in Oklahoma and even out there in Texas Panhandle. That may be the ones I've seen that they're talking about in this story. But around in my neighborhood, you grow anything like sunflowers or cowpeas, you get a visit from them little four-legged creatures with the white tail on them. This ain't happening in my neighborhood, and I can't afford to put up a high fence, so it is what it is. Well, we got some more things to talk about here, a few more things before we go. Hey, I've talked about this before, but let's talk about it again. While most algae found growing in tanks are not harmful to cattle, their presence can alter water quality or taste and deter cattle from drinking enough water that they need. A reduction in the water intake will result in reduced dry matter intake, will result in placing a drag on performance. Keeping a reliable, clean, palatable water source available for cattle at all times should be a priority for all cattlemen. Algae growth stems from organic matter in the tank like dirt, manure, feed, saliva, and urine. While not all this can be controlled, look for opportunities to reduce the organic matter buildup. For example, eliminate the opportunity for cattle to crawl into the tanks. Distant feed sources from water tanks, and discourage cattle from loafing close to the tank. The most effective way to maintain a clean water source is to clean regularly. We talked about that the last time we was on this. Drain the tank manually or turn off the water source and watch for the cattle to drain the tank for you. Long handle brushes with stiff brush, scrub the sides and the bottom, or take a shovel like I did down there that one day, clean mine out. Rinse to reduce buildup and remove dead algae, then consider options to surplus press the algae growth. Chemical water treatment options that are safe for cattle can effectively kill and suppress the algae bloom, include sulfate and bleach when used properly. Care should be taken to closely follow labeled instructions when using copper sulfate. Due to its corrosive properties, the longevity of metal tanks, pipelines, and floats can maybe shorten just a little bit, and it can cause skin irritation. And using copper sulfate, allow at least 5 minutes following treatment before allowing cattle to access to get effective results. Copper sulfate can be utilized every 2 to 4 weeks if needed. Another chemical option includes unscented household bleach. By adding 2 to 3 ounces per 50 gallons of water, algae growth can be hindered without impacting the palatability of your water. Keep cattle away from the tank for about an hour, allowing the chlorine to dissipate prior to water consumption. If deemed necessary, bleach can be utilized weekly. A more natural method used to control algae growth in tanks is utilizing goldfish. Data from the University of Missouri recommends adding 4 to 6 goldfish per 100 gallons of water. To survive, water temperatures need to be more than 60 degrees, and I call bull on that. Additionally, protection such as bricks along the bottom of the tank is needed to support the habitat, resulting in a great opportunity for algae growth. The tank will need clean periodically in order to remove fish poop. And then other research from the University of Minnesota found no difference in algae presence when goldfish were utilized compared to tanks without. Well, the reason why I said bull on the 60 degrees Fahrenheit. They were froze last winter, and I had, I think, 18 in there, and I counted the other day, got 24 now, and they all survived. I can't believe it. That tank was froze solid for, I don't know, a couple days anyway. Anyway, they're doing fine. But I got two different kinds of tanks out there. One's just the regular plastic tanks, and that other's a fiberglass tank. And it looks like I got more algae in the plastic than I do on the fiberglass tanks. So anyway, there's your water algae. Get it cleaned up. Get your cows some fresh water. Tip of the week there. Anyway, so you guys have a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed it. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. See you Monday. God bless.